Blog Talk Radio.
Wherever you're dialing in from, all over the globe, I am Kathy Holloway Hill, and welcome to another empowering episode of the Living by Design Show. And I am so excited, as always, to speak to you and bring to you another empowering topic, as well as a very, very motivational guest. And I'm very excited to have the opportunity to speak with Miss Marala, and I am so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. Marila Scott, and Marila is absolutely an amazing young lady. She's a best-selling author, she's a motivational speaker, and also a ghostwriter who spends her time teaching to forgive and inspiring to live. I absolutely love that. And her efforts have earned her the unique honor of being named an Oprah Winfrey Ambassador of Hope. So I am very, very thrilled to bring her on the line and begin this empowering discussion with Miss Scott. Miss Scott, how are you doing this evening? I'm so glad you're joining us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, absolutely. I'm thrilled to have you on my show. Now, let's get the most important things out of the way first. How do you pronounce your name?
Marila.
Marila. Okay. That's
yes,
much easier than I was struggling with. Marila, Marala. Okay, great. Marila, that's very pretty. That's very pretty, Marila.
Well, thank
well
you.
Marila, welcome to the Living by Design show. I'm really excited to have you on with us today. And I know you have written several books, so let's just jump right in because we really have some serious issues in our nation today and just in the minds of people. And I always say, as long as we have sick minds, we're going to have a sick nation. And I know you totally understand how that whole concept works. So if you don't mind, Marila, just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. And I know you've written several books and some of the books you've written and what actually inspired you to write those books.
Well, actually, going back to the beginning of what my book is about, In Our House, Perception versus Reality, took people and the readers through my journey as a child and what it involved with domestic violence, but there were several other very horrific layers to my life. And when people read my story, mm-hmm. they're blown away that I was able to transcend out of that childhood and become whom I am today. So how it took me on this path of writing, I realized how therapeutic writing was. It's extremely therapeutic for me, and it helped me release and remove a lot of negativity that I carried for years. So in doing that, after I finished my book, it was really neat when I was out there speaking and talking about a lot of the indicators of an abuser and things to recognize for people to help them avoid some of the situations that plagued me during my childhood. Kathy, I realized that I didn't have that anger, animosity. It was long removed from the time that I had begun working on the book. It got out a lot. So in ghostwriting, it gave me an opportunity. People would say, hey, can you write my book? And I kept saying, well, you know, I'm kind of doing my own thing right now, and I loved it. But I realized there was a release to get people to tell their stories, but to teach them how to turn their pain, their past, their history into inspiration. So that's what I do now as a ghostwriter. And the stories that we've been putting out there, Bad to the Bone is one that just came out, and the first month it hit number 17 on Amazon's bestsellers, and In Our House went number 3 on Amazon's bestseller. And so the books we're doing, they're hitting because they're hitting the core of people. We're, like you said, we're talking about topics in society today that need to be addressed. We're not covering them up. And the Perception versus Reality, you know, that's the subtitle of my book, In Our House, was because the perception of most people's lives isn't their true reality. And in doing inspirational books, we're starting to teach people, you know, more about what they go through, but how to overcome it and use that to fuel you in an empowering way.
Just so much power in your words. Now, what is the topic of your book that does talk about your life journey?
In Our House, Perception versus Reality.
Is that the name of the book? Is In Our House.
That's the name of the book. Yes.
Oh, I love that name. That's great. That really says a lot right there with just the name, In Our House. Now, if you don't mind, let's just talk a little bit about that book. First of all, where can my listeners purchase it?
Well, you can get the book online anywhere. A lot of bookstores carry it. You can get on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, iTunes. It's on my website, MarilaScott.com, and so it's easy to find. But I love the book because I love the power that comes out of it. When people read it, they love it. So.
Yes, right. And you know, Marilla, it's one thing to go to school and get your education, and I am totally an advocate for education. I'm all about that. But it's totally different when you absolutely lived the journey. You've lived the pain. You've lived the experience, and you can share that from a place of pain. And even better than that, you can share from a place of, like you said, transitioning into a better mindset, into a better you. And now you can reach back and help others with your story. So I'm so happy that you even wrote the book to let people know there is hope. I also have a Living by Design TV show, and my last episode was about drug addiction and being enslaved to the horrible disease of addiction and how it controls your life and it robs your life and it just steals all your joy and everything that you can possibly have. And there's so many things that can occur in our lives that can just totally steal our joy and hold us prisoner in our own minds. So if you don't mind, let's just kind of back up and talk a little about your book and your journey and how it all started and what transpired in part of your journey.
Well, you know, the one thing, like you said, it can really infiltrate your mind, change your life in a negative capacity if you
right.
don't realize what's going on and determine how to fix it and make, you know, go through changes to do such. But when I was a child, my father was very, very intelligent, very successful in his career, and he was recruited right out of college by both the CIA and IBM simultaneously while having five children and one on the way. And my mother was absolutely gorgeous. She was, you know, a dancer, you did ballet and things like that, and she was an excellent cook, a great mom. But behind closed doors, what people saw, like, wow, you guys are, like, very successful. You're lucky to have a dad like that. He was extremely abusive, but nobody saw that, you know, when he left the home. He took out
right.
everything behind closed doors. However, what transpired from there was mom was beaten so badly along with my older brothers that she was looking for a way trying to get us out of that situation, and she had nowhere to go at that time. And so she got involved in something else trying to help and save us, but it devastated her life and the lives of us, and the layers in that story are just horrific. So, you know, I looked at my childhood as I was going through it, and like you said, you can go to college, you can get your degree, you can do these things, and you can study and learn as much as you want about the human mind and how it works, but everyone has a story indicative to their life, their path, their journey, and in that story sometimes is a lesson for those individuals that are specific for them to learn. My journey taught me something, because what happened as a child for me, it took me a lot of years, Kathy, but I realized that wasn't my life. At the time, I thought that was my entire life. Like, wow, how could I have a childhood in a life like this? Is this what I'm destined to be? But as you grow older, you realize that was just like an episode of my life. It was a segment of it. It wasn't my entire life, and nor did it define me. So I took the pain that I went through, and I carried it for a lot of years, and it made me a person that didn't trust people. I didn't really like people. I was very cautious because of what happened to my mother. It was a very tragic situation. And those things were beginning to take shape and form me into a very negative person. It was a good thing that I never, like you mentioned in your last show, and I actually saw that, and it was a very powerful show on substance abuse, but I never went down that line because I knew if I did, given everything that I went through, it would destroy my life. It would obliterate it because it would have been a way for me to remain a victim and have an excuse to cover up the pain that I went through. So with that, I began to write. And I was writing when I was a child things that would happen, and I kept journaling, and as I grew older, I took those things and began to write and get them out. And sharing my story was basically, it was one way I wanted to get a release, a therapeutic release for me, because it was so painful what I went through, what my family went through, my brothers and my mother especially. And it's something that's beyond life to even read it. People are like, you've got to be kidding. This is unbelievable and painful. How can you be who you are today? Well, the journey that I took, it was mine and was meant to shape me as an adult. Instead of giving in to what happened and saying that's it to my life, I used that as fuel to power me to become a better version of what my childhood set me out to be. But there was a lesson in that. I took the lesson. Mm. And that's what I like to teach people to do. There is always a lesson in your pain, but we have to be strong enough to see it and to use it the right way.
You know, Meryl, you're absolutely correct. And I always say that a lot of times people get caught up in the pain of their past. And because they are caught up in the pain from their past, guess what? They're stuck in the past. Because
right.
you're continuing to relive that pain over and over and over and over, and now all of a sudden you become a prisoner of your past. So you've obviously got it early in life to realize that our journey is not meant to keep us back and hold us down. Our journey, yes, it's painful. Yes, it hurts. And I have my own. We all have a story. We all have
right.
pain from our past. We all have disappointments. We all have abuse. We all have something in our past that was not pleasant. But that comes to us to enhance us and build our character and make us into the individuals we are today. We can't live out our purpose in life if we just had a silver spoon and everything was just cookies and cream and cherries and roses. We've got to go through something. You can't have a testimony until you've had a test. And everybody on this planet should be using their test to share their testimony because we're all connected and we all have to help each other. Now, I have a really big question that I want to ask you right now if you don't mind answering. But I want to know, what is your relationship with your dad today?
Well, I don't have one because he passed on, unfortunately. And it was,
okay.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Did you ever have an opportunity to speak to him, make peace with that, or anything?
Well, you know, one thing that I teach people about, Cassie, is the power of forgiveness. And so Dad was just one
yes.
aspect of my life and my childhood that made things very, very difficult for me and were traumatic when I was little. But as I grew into being
right.
a young woman, you know, I took back my power. So I, you know, I had to offer forgiveness for everything that happened to me and everything that happened to my mom even so that I can live and be free of that. And in doing that, it allowed me to have actually a pretty solid relationship with my father. So a lot of the things that, you know, offering forgiveness was not about him so much and saying, okay, you're off the hook because those memories are ingrained with me for the rest of my life. However, it took away the pain, and I was no longer bound to the being an emotional hostage to what happened. So between the time that that happened, it took a lot of years to get to that point. But, yeah, I saw my father and spoke to him on a pretty regular basis. So, but he's unfortunately
Great.
Passed on
Great.
2 years ago. So.
Now, what about your mom? Did you harbor any anger, bitterness, resentment toward her? Because she did have choices. So, you know, you being a child, you didn't have a choice. But did you harbor any bitterness or anger toward her for choosing to stay there in that situation?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Kathy. I don't believe I've been asked that ever. And the funny thing about it is I didn't have any pain or anger towards Mom because she was actually so badly abused that I couldn't. There was no room for it because I felt for her.
Mm-hmm.
I was hurt for her. So at the time, when you're a child, you look at that. You can't be angry with a woman that's being beaten because you think about, if I were in that situation, you know, people always say what they would do, and I offered that advice to people. You should do this, do that, because I came out of that environment. However, it still doesn't mean that choice is going to work for them. And so I watched Mom try to have other options, but she just couldn't get the help, even when she asked for it, even when she called the police. Back in that era, things were different. You know, abuse was more common.
Right.
Dad wasn't the only one, unfortunately, beating his wife or whatever. It happened on a regular basis, routine. The police would come out, see it, and they're kind of like, you know, you really have it pretty good here. You're better off just to let it go. Or they deny it and say, okay, well, we're not going to do anything. If it happens again, call us. And it did, and they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have those outlets. However, as I grew older, I look back and I look at so many women that I talk to and work with and write their stories, and there are options to leave. There are always options, even if you leave with nothing. Now, Mom having six children made it very difficult for her to pack up all six of us and anyone to want to take us in because everyone thought we had it made. So you know, they didn't understand what she was going through. But as I grew older, yes, because of the choices she made, not because of what she went through, but I did have some anger that I didn't realize I never addressed until I was working on the book, and I realized, wow, these choices that she made, she didn't have to. There was another outlet. But at the time, she didn't see it. So can you, you know, you really can't mm-hmm. fault someone for the choices they make if they're trying to do the best they could. And I knew that my mother, she was trying. But the choice that she made, it's horrific. It's a horrific tale, and it's beyond abuse. And when people read it, they're just in disbelief. So because it's so heart-wrenching.
And you're right, being a child, you know, and witnessing that, you can't really logically, intelligently, maturely, and with wisdom make an assessment like that. So you,
right.
it really is
right.
difficult for a child. But, you know, once you become an adult, and really when you think about it, Marilla, because I was also in an abusive relationship, so I totally understand. But I've always looked at the situation that the abused individual, it, just like substance abuse and addiction, it's a disease. Well, I think once you've been in an abusive relationship for a certain period of time, unless you can get out quickly right at the beginning, but once you've been in there, and I was there for 16 years, but once you've been there for a good amount of time, it does become an emotional mental disease. And it's just like healing any other emotional mental disease. It takes time. You know, you're addicted to the abuse. And I know that sounds strange, but and that's why I wanted to go back and get
actually,
my master's
no,
in psychology, because I wanted to try to understand. I wanted to understand, and it is a form of a disease once you've been there, because your mind and your emotions are so destroyed that now you've got to rebuild that, just like if you're in an addictive substance abuse situation. You've got to rebuild that. You've got to go through withdrawal. You've got to go through all the things that a substance abuser goes through. So, yeah, that's what your mother was in.
Kathy, that's a great perspective, because you're right. You don't. People think that you can just walk mm-hmm. out and you leave, but a lot of times people don't understand that there are a lot of men that are abused too, because with my brother's being abused as
right.
children, they grow up to be either A, abusers, or B, abused. So people overlook the fact that
right.
many men are abused in abusive situations. What happens when your mother's abusing you?
Right.
So we don't really count that in society. We think it's what? Discipline? But those young boys are abused, and they grow up the same way. However, you're right as far as I believe and agree with you that it is an addiction, because when you're there for a period of time, and Mom was there for, you know, over 15 years as well. So when you look at that, she actually loved my father. I do know that. I know she loved
right.
him with everything
yes.
in her. And that in
that's
itself
right.
can be crippling. And so you think of the things that, you know, there's parents that really they know their children are in addiction situation or use drugs or whatnot, and they're still giving their money. They're still helping them out of love. You see what I'm saying? And they know that's a disease and an illness,
yes.
but they're still feeding it. Now, the same thing with Mom.
Right.
She knew what was going on, but she stayed there, and she tried to get out. But the way she chose was just absolutely horrific, and it obliterated her, because it was the wrong choice to make. But she did. She kept thinking in the beginning, I saw as a child her believing and thinking things will get better. She can change him. And I tell women, you can't change people. They can change themselves. God can change them, but you can't. You can change yourself. You can make
right.
your own choices, and you can encourage and inspire, but you do not have the power to change anyone. That's their power.
And there's nothing that you can say or do to try to calm the abuser down. You can avoid confrontation. You can cook dinner the right way. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. If the abuser wants to abuse, he is going to abuse or she is going to abuse.
Absolutely.
Because that's what's in them. And that's why I say it's a form of addiction for the abused person, because they are dealing with these conflicting emotions. I mean, you're right. You love the individual, and then on the other coin, you hate the individual for treating you the way that they are and treating your children the way that they are. So you're in a very, very difficult position, emotional and mental-wise, cognitive thinking-wise, so you don't really know what to do with it. You feel stuck. You absolutely feel
right.
stuck. You feel victimized, and you feel stuck. So until you get professional help, just like people who are abusing substances and alcohol, until you get the proper help, there is no way you're going to be able to do it on your own. And I'm saying that to everyone who is listening to this show, you cannot do it on your own. You're going to have to get professional help to get out of there, unless your abuser passes away or something. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a cycle because you've been broken down so much that you repeat that cycle. So many women, they say, well, I just did a book called Invisible Girl, and the power in that book is unbelievable. And it tells of a young woman, and she went through that. She was in a cycle. But once you get in that cycle, if you start so early, you really don't even know you're in it. You don't understand. It becomes your way of life,
right,
and what you know, part of your environment, so you don't know how to break it unless you have help. Someone has to help you. You have to seek help. So, yeah, I agree.
That's right. Absolutely. That is, and I'm so happy we're having this conversation because it's actually a topic that's coming up on my TV show about domestic abuse and how prevalent and how just out of control it is in our nation. And you're right. There are a lot of men who are being abused. There are children who are being abused. There is emotional abuse. There's physical abuse. There's sexual abuse. There's so many different forms of abuse, and there are over 40-plus million individuals in just our nation alone, our country alone, that are suffering from that. And, you know, we try to turn a blind eye and say, oh, well, they can just walk away. But, no, I was there, and it's not that easy. It's not that simple. Even if you have a child in the situation, it's not that easy. It's something that you've got to get help with. So I'm just so glad you're sharing your story and we're having this conversation. Now, let me shift gears a minute, and let's talk about the Ambassador for Hope. Now, how did you become Oprah's Ambassador for Hope? How did that come about? That's a very massively huge honor, by the way.
Absolutely, Kathy. When I finished In Our House, Perception versus Reality, I started going out speaking nationwide about the indicators of an abuser. And as you said, you just stated exactly what my message was as clearly as you could possibly get it, is that when you're in that situation and you try to leave, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And there's a lot to consider. Even when you do have children, okay, get up and leave and take the children, but where are you going to go? Mom has six kids. Who's going to take them? So there's a lot to consider, your finances and everything. But the biggest thing I tell women and men is to consider your life. None of that matters if you don't have your life. But when I was sharing whether indicators of an abuser, they're warning signs. Everyone has them. They're there. We, as people, we choose to overlook them because it's convenient. If we want to love a man, we're going to love a man. If we like this woman, we're going to like this woman. And we overlook their flaws. That's one of the things that, you know, relationships, you get what you want out of it. But when you look back, those signs were there. And so if you have someone being too obsessive with you, too controlling your money, getting rid of your friends, moving you away, there are so many signs that we had in our relationship that I learned from my mother and what she went through alone. Why don't we teach our children these indicators? Because when, take for example, they go off to college, you're in a melting pot of personalities, not knowing any of those people they're living with, and they're surrounded by in the dorms or whatnot. And so you don't know when you're dating someone their history, what they were privy to, what happened to them, if they were sexually abused, if they were physically abused, if they're an abuser or whatnot. So I started teaching that, and in doing so, Oprah caught wind of what I was doing. Her producers reached out to me, and they reached out and said, hey, we want you to be one of our 5 worldwide ambassadors of hope for what you're doing. And, you know, it was just, we were taking these postcards and putting them on college campuses. The universities were so open to it because it went into the new kits. When the kids come in and check in, you get your bag. And it was in there to say, hey, if someone's doing these things, and there's like 20 of them on there or more that tell you what to look for. And if you have these signs, then you should seek help. You should talk to someone so you can alleviate getting in that situation. So we need to start teaching our children, how do you prepare for something, adversity, instead of getting into it and trying to pull them out of it? That's harder. So why don't we teach them not to get into it? And that's what I do.
Awesome. Awesome. And I know Oprah is just, I mean, she is the queen of empowerment and the queen of positive
Absolutely.
Living and healthy minds. So I am so happy about that. And you know, you're right, because part of my journey, you know, that abusive marriage was just one part, and the other part was that I was in a career that I did not design. You know, I had a ton of dysfunction in my childhood as well, so I went down a path in my career that I did not like, and it was what my parents wanted me to do. So after 20-plus years, I decided to walk away from that and do this, which has always been my passion because I did it as a hobby on the side for free. So smack in the middle of the economic recession when it started, when it hit back in 07, I just walked away, and I walked away from a very lucrative, almost a quarter of $1 million a year annual job in the technology industry, and I just walked away. And Ebony Magazine got a hold of that story, and they just reached out and said, hey, we need to do a story about this. So I can believe that because, and I'm happy that there are publications and individuals who are extremely influential, who can get behind you and push you and build you and get you out there. And shows like this one and other shows and anyone who can get on the bandwagon and help you get that message out there, I am all for it, and I am just so happy that you and I have connected now and you've had a chance to speak to my listeners, and I absolutely am adamant about you the next time you're in Indianapolis to speak to my viewers who watch the TV show as well to get this message out there because it is so, so huge. The other aspect of it is the shame. You know, nobody wants to tell about their abusive situations. They don't want to share it, but you've got to tell somebody. You've got to tell someone.
Well, you know, you're right. The shame is what keeps people silent, and silence is deadly.
That's right.
And it's the problem that we have is we think it's embarrassing. But, again, going back to that's why the book was titled In Our House, Perception Versus Reality, because we allow people to see the perception of our lives in one capacity when it's typically different. And who can you blame if you're letting them think everything is fine and they can't help you, they don't help you because you're letting them, you know, believe everything's okay? But we have to speak up and say, no, this is no longer acceptable in my life, and it needs to stop. Instead of saying, well, he's okay, he didn't mean it, she didn't mean it, it was one time that she did this or he did this, it has to stop, period, end of story. So we have a voice, and our voice has more power than what you know. And your platform, Kathy, it allows people to perpetuate sharing their inspiration, their stories, their methods of doing and accomplishing, achieving things, overcoming adversity to help others. So I believe the more we talk, the more we discuss things like this, instead of spewing out negativity to combat and hurt people and gossiping, we can empower people to do the same. We can empower people to seek change. Change your mindset. You will change your life.
That's right. And you have to do it one person. And if each one touches one, we can gradually change the world with just our own. That's why we have a journey. That's why we have a painful past. Not to push it down and bury it and keep it in there. We have that painful past so that we can share our pain. And all of the energy that is going into this conversation right now, it's going to get out there, and it's going to help so many people. It's going to change so many lives. And I'm so very happy that we've had this chance to talk because I cannot believe we're coming up on 1 minute left in the show. Oh, my goodness. So wonderful. We've got 1 minute left in the show, Marilla, and you are just an absolute amazing young woman, and I just love you dearly. I've never seen you, never met you, but this connection and this energy that is present right now, I know it's going to take you far, and you definitely will be coming on my TV show. I've already reached out and got the wheels in motion. So I just want you to know that because, well, you're very welcome, sweetheart. You're amazing. And just one more time, let our listeners know, where can they purchase the book?
You can go to marillascott.com. It's on amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. You can quest it anywhere. It's a powerhouse. And I have another powerhouse, Bad to the Bone. The true story of David Tuckaloo Jr. is amazing. All the stories we do through Seraph Books, because I'm a ghostwriter, they empower people. And you, Kathy, are empowering people every day. So thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for sharing your platform.
Well, thank you as well. And I know your website, because it's a beautiful website. It's marillascott.com. And, you know, it's lovely. It totally reflects who you are. And you're very beautiful, very beautiful. So may God continue to bless you and your work. May he continue to shine upon you and anoint you with your message, because you have a powerful message and you are an amazingly wonderful speaker. So thank you so much, Marilla. We will definitely be in touch, and we will set up a TV interview, because my viewers My listeners want to hear from you. Absolutely, this is an amazing show, but my viewers also want to see you. So thanks again, and we really appreciate you. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, and thank you for joining us on the Living by Design show, and we're going to sign off for now, but we'll be back next week with another empowering episode and an empowering discussion. Good night, everyone.